My text is in the book of Joshua, and the third chapter, and verse 17. Joshua 3, verse 17. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. And so much can be read into that word clean. Until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. I don't know if you noticed as we sang the hymn now before the text that I gave. I know the hymn well. We must have sung it, I suppose, in this church and other places, hundreds, if not possibly thousands of times. I wonder if we have ever noticed how scripturally based that hymn is. I would like you to look at it. I had realized that it had a great deal of scripture weaving through it, but I don't think until now as we sang it did I realize how very scriptural it was. And it is linked with our message in any case. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. That's the wilderness that they came through led by Moses. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. And then do you remember the manna? Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Then we come to the time when they had no water. Open thou the crystal fountain, whence the healing stream doth flow. Then do you remember the fiery and the cloudy pillar? Let the fiery, cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. And then we come to this part where we are now. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises I will ever give to thee. I think if I were not able to proceed with the rest of the message, that just to point out in that hymn alone, the sequence that we find there of the series that we have been going through over the past months regarding the life of Moses, the history of the children of Israel, and now Joshua. Now I'll read you the text again. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. It's a great moment. It's a moment of fulfillment to the promised land, of the promised land, to the children of Israel. It's a long time ago when Moses tried to persuade the people, persuade Pharaoh, and eventually succeeded by the grace of God, learning many lessons en route, and the primary one being that without the presence of God, no one could be moved or nothing could be achieved. And then you remember they had come near to the promised land before, but they believed lies. Moses warned them, and then they were warned not to go across, even though they then desired to cross, because God's presence would not be with them. What's a revival without God? And so they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. The punishment that they had to bear was this: that they would not enter the promised land, not any other people, but their children would. That Moses and Aaron wouldn't either. They're the only two. And these two were those who were truthful when they viewed the promised land. Joshua and Caleb. You see how precise and how careful God is, yet how merciful. He allowed Moses, nevertheless, a view of the promised land. Then he crossed another Jordan and entered the ultimate promised land, Canaan, of heaven itself. But we are concerned on earth, although we remind ourselves of that, Canaan, we are concerned on earth regarding this promised land. And if you remember last week, we were looking at the time that all these hundreds of thousands of people, not just soldiers, remember, wives, mothers, children, old people, old men, old women, all the cattle, the sheep, the goats, all that they had, their livestock, all their little possessions, a vast multitude, very difficult to get them to move at all, in a physical way, let alone in a spiritual way. Very difficult. And the Jordan was in flood. Why couldn't God wait for the flood to subside? Why could he not choose some other way or some other land? But they had to pass through this Jordan at this time. They did not want to make the mistake of their fathers. We don't want to make the mistake, with all due respect, of our fathers. Let us rather follow our grandfathers. I know that this cannot be personally true of everyone, generally. Our grandfathers crossed the Jordan into a promised land. Our fathers, for 70 years, have wandered in the wilderness. What will we do? How many of us here this morning is willing to search his heart and say, I am willing to be involved? That's the word we use today, maybe. I am willing to be committed, that my heart's desire might be to encourage in the things of God, but not only that, not only to encourage Joshua or Moses, as the case may have been, but to encourage, but also to be committed, that I shall tread that brink of Jordan, and my anxious fears shall subside, and I will support the work of God, that the old people will encourage the young, that the young will respect the old, and together we will come through into the promised land. Well, in verse 5 we had these words, remember, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. You would have thought, the Lord will do wonders among you, try and get some sticks and some wood and build boats or a bridge. No, sanctify yourselves. May I just say one word on that, although we dealt with it or looked at it last week. How difficult. One person, a leader of one of the major faith missions, said in the last few weeks, with great gratitude to the wonderful response there had been regarding the great tragedy that we are all aware of that took place only just a few weeks ago. And he said, what a pity it is that something like this has to happen in order to move the hearts of God's people. Many, many have offered their help, not only financially, but also to help in the situation there. Why cannot we be always like this? Why has it got to be that there is a great emergency before we rally together? Shall I refer to one in the history of our church? And I'm not suggesting that we are not one now, but there's something that was very special about that. Without, because this is on recording, I want to say it gently, and yet we all know to what I am referring. It is this. There was a time when we stood in the midst of a Jordan too. There was a time when we stood for the great and the holy doctrines of our God. We were very much alone. And yet we never knew a togetherness ever before like that, did we? Do you remember how we drew near to one another? Despite the adverse criticism, despite the many words in the various media, despite the battering from every direction, we were one. Why? We were in the midst of a Jordan. We could not afford to be divided. That's why I keep saying, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Oh, if I could only convey that which is in my heart, and I'm sure that which is in my heart is far from being pure, but convey something that I have captured, a little of that, that we might all understand the meaning of this. Sanctify ourselves. Yes, our attitude to God, we might say, I will do that. I will keep my quiet times. I will attend church. I will do those good things, and I am glad of that. But isn't there something else? Did not John put it like this? If we love not one another, what kind of love is it towards God? For if we cannot love our brother whom we have seen, how is it possible that we can claim to love God whom we have not seen? So you see, there is something here for us to learn. That you might say, I am willing to honor the doctrines. I know them better than my neighbor. I may know them better than my pastor. All this, it doesn't really matter. What we are saying now, this is a measure of my knowledge. Maybe that is very good. I am very pleased if we know these things. What is your heart and my heart like towards one another? Is it not that that will show how much we have learnt of the doctrines we know? Is it not that? It is easy to go through a book of doctrine. It only amounts to a certain amount of ability, ever so little, to understand it all. But to know it, and to live it, and to be it, takes grace and grace and grace. Plucking out a root of bitterness, throwing away a bad mood, throwing away the sulks because the weather is bad, whatever it may be, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves. Now, I am asking you this now, I'm not just saying to the people way back here, you know, but to us here now, because we too are living in perilous times. Now then, what do we get? Let's just come briefly to what I have this morning. Three little steps. The step of faith. It's a big step. It's a simple step. The step of faith. Dipping your foot into cold water. And you don't know its depth or its implications. The step of faith. Now, God's command is here, but behind God's command, it's God's promise. They are perilous waters. We live today in perilous times. I would say like this, that Joshua needed all the support that was possible. Why? He had God with him. Yes, but you know, if you look carefully, time and time again, God has to reassure him. You look at these early chapters in Joshua, and it will surprise you. Not only has Moses chosen him, not only has God confirmed that choice, not only is that there, but he tells him and tells him, and the people acknowledge it. But you see, he had a great task before him, Jordan. And he also had been to the promised land. Yes, blessings and problems. He was fully aware of what it would mean. There would be many times when there would be problems, when the blessing would be almost clouded. This he knew. And so he's a man of understanding and wisdom, as we know. He needed all the support he could have. And the people gave him that support. Would you not agree with me that every servant of God these days needs support? I am a little servant in this particular decade. In this little church, is it not true that I would need the support of every single one? We are not many, all. And one can break the all. That's the terrible thing. Do you see what I'm saying? So Joshua needed this support. He needed it emotionally, in a sense, but spiritually as well. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day, look how he has to reassure. He is a warrior. He was something that I certainly am not. He would be like a person that we know of, one of the kings, Saul. He was big. He was strong. You might say, well, Joshua isn't afraid of anything. He's a warrior. He can come with his sword and his shield. And Nobody would argue with Joshua. He'd only have to say, you know, here I am, and who's going to argue with me? And none of them would want to argue because he was big and he was strong. Do you know, you cannot measure a man like that. You sometimes can have a frail man, and he can be a giant of grace. He can be. It's possible. Paul was a little man. He was a frail man. And he was beset by sickness upon sickness. And yet he prevailed by the grace of God. The same grace that Joshua prevailed. And Joshua did not depend upon his warrior strength, but had to depend upon God. And had to ask, if I can measure rightly, for God's comfort oftener than many others. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this is verse 7, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel. I'll not make a fool of thee, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. How many times has he told him? So I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye have come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. Now then, what is this? The Ark of the Covenant represented to them all that God would tell them. There was the commandment, there was the law, and oftentimes there in the sanctuary, the presence of God would be there. It would mean a great deal. They never moved without the Ark. The Ark of the Covenant meant that God was telling them that they should move. It had to be like that. It meant a great deal to them. And this Ark was going straight towards Jordan. They were not to draw too near to it. It was the chosen of the Lord that had to lead the way. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come here, come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. Now there's the ark. It has gone to the verge, to the brink of Jordan in flood. Over there, the promised land, there is Jericho as well. And even though they had a good report about the people trembling because of them, yet they needed their anxious fears to subside as they trod the verge of Jordan. Any great spiritual event, whatever it is, there is something about it that brings a tremor in the air and a tremble in the heart as well. Now he says, come here, I want you to listen to me. And Joshua, this is verse 10 now. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. This is how you will know that he is God, that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from among you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. He named them all. He knew them all. He'd been there. So he said, now look, I realize that some of you are not looking so much at the water as some of you are looking at that land. And what do you see there? You can see the Hittites over there, the Jebusites over there. You can see the Amorites over there, terrible and a warlike people, some of them reputed to be as giants. Aren't you remembering the lies, some of the lies that your fathers believed in? Are you not also seeing the reality or the ferocity of some of these tribes? Some of you are looking there and you're wondering, is blessing worth it? Is milk and honey really worth it? Is a land flowing of such really worth it? Is it not better to be a nomadic people wandering through the desert like this? Do we really want to go? He said, this day, the living God will show you that he is God. He had to deal with the fear of the people. He had to deal with that. Look at verse 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over you, before you into Jordan. See what happens. Who goes before you? For every purpose, as far as they are concerned, God. The ark of the covenant of the God of all the earth goes before you and into Jordan. Those priests needed a great deal of spiritual courage. those men of God had to show no fear, or have no fear perhaps in their trembling hearts, and enter into the waters of Jordan. A gentleman called Winston Churchill said a long time ago, at a critical time in the last world war, never was so much owed by so many to so few. A tremendous phrase. Shall I reword it? Looking at my Saviour and the new covenant, never was so much owed by so many to one in the new covenant. Whatever we may have to face, whatever we go through, the Saviour has gone before us in a much more wonderful and a glorious way even, and even that we see here as we record the wonder and the glory too that belong to this covenant and to this ark in the Old Testament. What are you really calling for? May I put it like this, the step of faith? In a way, I do believe we're at the brink of such a time. I don't want to say something now. I don't know if there will be a revival soon. I do not know. I live for it. I would not be so foolish to say there will be a revival next week or next month or next year. I live for it. And even if I have to be like a Moses that only views the promised land, even that to be a wonderful thing. But I would desire it for the people of God that it might come. It would be my heart's wish that it might be soon. But I'm asking this. It is not a condition, because we are told that God will do wondrous things, but he requires us to sanctify ourselves. That is so. How many of us are willing? How many of us are willing to say, I will this morning commit myself? Let me warn you, if you do, Satan will have a go at you. So ask for God's protection immediately. How many will stand in the Jordan? How many will be willing to follow? How many tribes, families, if you like, will be willing to follow and say, we will go through this Jordan? You might say, well, why should we? For ourselves, yes. But my dear friends, does not your heart ache for the devastation in Britain today? Does it not ache? And in this world, shall I give you one instance? Now, I cannot confirm these facts, only that I heard this on a radio program, and I take it to be true. What is happening in South America today? Do you know, I just cannot get over it. I only thought, you see, or the Portuguese and the Spanish people and those new emerging countries in that sense, and also the blessing that's there, that I heard of something else. And this is the kind of world that we are living in. In Brazil, there are great roads that go right to the borders of all the neighboring Spanish-speaking countries. And they haven't met that road because they're afraid of Brazil, because Brazil is obviously the great power of South America. And that's not the point. These roads have gone through the jungle. There were many Indian people. People there, some who had never seen white people at all, others who had. They have a law amongst each other. It's a simple law. Here is territory of A tribe, and there's territory of B tribe. They don't fight each other very often, but if one of A goes to B, he will be killed because he's broken the law. There will not be a war between them because it is a code that they have. If a person should happen to be a white man, then he would be killed, not because they're against white man, but because they came on their territory. It is their code. That's how they've lived. It is their land. Now, these great motorways are going through. The same thing happens similar in the old days in North America, but this is today. great wealthy people of Brazil and the other American countries, remember, all of them. As they go through the jungle, they say, ah, transport, large plantations, clear the jungle. The Indians are there. They put large parcels of poisoned sugar, infected clothing, and planes mercilessly machine-gunning villages. There is a society in the capital of Brazil, the Protection of the Indian Society. It is merely a name. Nothing is done. I cannot get over it. I know there are many injustices and people make a big fuss about an injustice somewhere here, injustice, but that is usually because it affects. But you see, nobody will do anything there. Why? We want the trade of Brazil. And Brazil, and Peru, the lot of them, I'm naming that because it's the biggest one. But they won't do anything. Why? Because they want their country to advance. And so they put a deaf ear and a blind eye. I am giving you that example, my friends. It is terrible. This man was asked, how many Indians have been killed in the last 5 years? He said, I dare not think. That's terrible. Won't the United Nations do anything? They are not interested because they don't matter. They are not a political issue. Now, why am I saying that this morning, this friend? Because of this reason. I stand for a holy gospel. We stand for the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why do I ask you to come with me through this Jordan? Not that we may be blessed. Not that we might have an excitable meeting. No, but that a world might know there is a gospel of love. That there might be tens of thousands and millions of people converted. And that a whole society might be changed. And that we might be a leaven in South America and in North America and in Europe and in Russia and in all these other places. That's why, not that I might say, ah, lovely, my little people followed me. Little stupid little me, I don't matter. I could be alive today and dead tomorrow. It doesn't matter. What matters is this, that we enter this Jordan for the sake of our God and for the sake of the gospel. And that our hearts might be moved with compassion to a myriad people. And that we might have in this country, not many, not that we are concentrating now just on missionary work in thinking of it like that. But the world is our home. We cannot talk of foreign mission fields anymore. The world is our home. All peoples are our people. And our hearts should beat as one. Do you see what I'm saying? Oh, I know the injustices can be innumerable. You can name them and I can name them. But please come through this Jordan that there might be a breakthrough somewhere. You see, once it begins, God can send it anywhere and everywhere. Oh, how many hindrances we meet against that step. Of faith. The stand of faith. Now, in verse 4, and it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. Now then, what are we going to do? Now, let it be clear now. I am not condemning one country more than another. This has happened in the last 2 or 3 years. It has happened for the last centuries. How many cruelties have there been in Asia, in Russia, in Europe, all over. That every now and again something brings a great concern into our hearts. What shall we do? Stand in this Jordan. It came to pass, and the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, that the waters which came down from above, stood, and rose up upon an heap. Now you might say, oh, I don't believe those kind of things. Well, I do. And I do because I believe in God. We call it a miracle. He only just withholds the ordinary laws which are his anyway. Listen to this psalm. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language. Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams and the little hills like lambs. What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest, thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back? Ye mountains that he skipped like rams and ye little hills like lambs, tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord. It's a wonderful psalm. It's 114. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters. And that is our God. He can perform miracles in the hearts of the greedy that they become merciful and kind. He can perform miracles in the heart of the lustful that they become clean and pure. He can perform miracles in an apathetic evangelical church in England and in Wales today, that we will rise up and sanctify ourselves and enter into this Jordan. The priest stood in a strange place. And the priest, that's verse 17, that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord, stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. Perilous days. Atrocities and horrific things happen in many countries. Perilous days. Sin beyond. Ideologies frightening. The lot. Perilous days. What do the people of God have to do? Sanctify themselves and enter into this Jordan. What is this Jordan? There, strange as it may seem, there is dry ground. And the priests stand with a covenant, the ark, there in the midst of Jordan, our Saviour, on a rubbish dump with a new covenant. It is very similar. We stand in strange places, and we stand in perilous places. And they stood here. How did they stand? Firm. Now you might say, well, what had they got? The Ark of the Covenant. What do we need for these days? The gospel. Do we need anything else? No. The gospel. Now you might say, my study, I have many books. Yes, I do have many books. Have they ever helped me to find a text? No, they have not. What helps me? This word of God. When it comes to the last analysis, whoever should come our way and strip us of everything we might have, all we need is our God. All we need is our gospel. Has it got to be a time of persecution for us to see the greatness and the reality? There is no need to paint the ark. There is no need to decorate it with tinsel. There is no need to do anything. It is God's word. It is his covenant. What have we got? The gospel of grace. And we stand on redemption ground. Our great high priest has made peace with God for us. Our sins are forgiven. We can offer nothing better than this. We dare not offer anything less than this. But this holy gospel, Martin Luther put it like this, here I stand. There he was before a great court of people, just dressed as an ordinary little monk at the time. He even hadn't even got a pile of books. Here I stand. Not only the spot, spiritually, I can no other, so help me, God. And God did. Do we stand on this gospel not ashamed of it, not embarrassed, not trying to embellish it, not trying to subtract from it, but it is the holy gospel of God that saves us from hell, that saves us for heaven, that forgives our sins and makes us the children of God. Is it alone? Yes, as far as we are concerned. But the presence of God is there. Not in word only, but in power and assurance and the Holy Ghost. Here we stand. That's two things. The step of faith for the sake of a sick world. By a few, for many, because one has died on Calvary for us. The stand of faith, the new covenant, redemption, salvation, the blood, the forgiveness of sins, and everlasting life. And lastly, the seal of faith. God honors them that honor him. Verse 17 again, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over. Let me just finish more or less illustrating this now. All the people pass by and they pass safely onto the other side. They don't even wet their feet. What does he do for us when we come to our Jordan? I suppose one Jordan is when we immersed ourselves in the salvation of Christ and found that he had done it all for us, and we came out clean, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. I suppose you could say that is like one Jordan when you come to the Lord. There is another too that was inferred in the hymn that we sang, when I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. I come to the Jordan that Moses crossed before Joshua did, the Jordan of death, and that he was able to know and to feel that underneath would be the everlasting arms, and that he, in a sense, again, would pass through in dry ground and enter the promised land. We know it now as the inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. There is that Jordan, and there is this Jordan, this Jordan. We live in perilous days. There are many reasons why we might fear to be involved. Ah, we are personally committed. We've got to do this, we've got to do that, we've got to do the other. Cannot we stand together? Cannot we be as one? Cannot the miracle happen in one place? Not for the sake of any name of a church or a person, but for the sake of a sick world and the glory of a great God. What is revival? Listen to this lovely verse in Romans. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This is for the individual sometimes. I'm not talking revival there now. A believer is a person whose the grace of God has worked in his heart. He has believed the word of God. He has repented of his sin. He has been converted, born again. A believer also in his behavior finds a change. And so there is the Johannine assurance, where we know that now that he is able to walk in the light by the grace of God. But there is a third one. When his spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. Do you know what that is? It is described by some of the Puritans as God's embrace, where God every now and again will take a believer in his arms. Mine, mine, mine. And the believer will say, mine, mine, mine. I know thou art mine. It is an assurance that comes every now and again, maybe in a lifetime, once, twice, half a dozen times maybe, according to the need, like we do with our children sometimes. They know that they are ours, they know that we love them, they have our name, but every now and again we gather them into our arms, and they know that we are, that they belong to us, and that they are able to say mine, and we are able to say mine about them. We know that that is true. What then is revival? Every now and again. And God sees his people come through this Jordan. He takes them into his arms. He takes the church into his arms and says, mine, mine, mine. And the church responds and says to God, Mine, 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 I know thou art mine. And what happens? The church is moved. A nation is shaken. A world is turned upside down. Whether my details are right or wrong or misrepresented by what I gave you now, I only gave you what I heard earlier on. This certainly is true. It is a cruel world. It is a wicked world. It is a lustful world. It is a merciless world. It is a sinful world. Have we no pity? Why did Paul go on? The love of Christ constraineth me. My friends, come with me through this Jordan into a land flowing with milk and honey, not that you may be filled, but that a sick world may be healed. Let us pray. O Lord, we come to thee in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. We ask thee to help us. Help us truly to be a people of God. We all feel so hopeless. And that's a good thing, because then pride goes out. Because thou art able in our weakness to perfect thy strength. Then, Lord, make us weak, that thy might be in us. Amen.